We're talking today with Luc Fortin, President and CEO of the Montreal Exchange, about his take on the current state of the industry. To get right into it, let's start with the most obvious thing, which is the coronavirus, which has rocked financial derivatives markets in the past few months, as well as the whole global economy. I wondered if you could comment a bit about how Canada is faring and what are some ways TMX is responding to fallout.
Yeah, these are really unprecedented times, and I think that this is truly a unique situation, and I don't believe any one of us have ever faced as challenging times as we are now. But to be honest, I think Canada implemented some social distancing measures fairly early, I would say. Hindsight's always going to be 2020, and some would say they could have done it earlier. But, in the grand scheme of things, when you look at where Canada stands in terms of number of cases and the strategy around mitigation and trying to flatten out that curve, Canada has proven, knock on wood, to have been relatively successful. This is still early goings. Once you flatten out the curve, then what are your next waves kind of look like, and what kind of impacts is that going to have? Ultimately, that is what's going to determine what kind of major long-lasting impact it's going to have on the economy. I mean, we're not isolated from the rest of the globe in terms of the perils, right? From an economic perspective, we March sort of reached new records of unemployment of just shy of 8%. The Alberta premier was saying on the news that he expects that you could see unemployment in Alberta, which is sort of the oil patch, of upwards of 20%. That being said, TMX has done its part, because these are not easy times for our customers. They're not easy times for stakeholders, and we've taken a lot of necessary steps to sort of help appease these challenges. We've been working with our peers. We contribute and exchanging with other global exchange leaders in terms of what we think are crucial to keeping markets open and showing resilience and showing that we have the ability to function and provide investors with liquidity and sort of all the key things that global investors are looking for, as well as issuers. I think we've been able to do that, and we've been able to do that fairly well.
Kind of along that lines, I noticed the TMX Group 2019 annual report. It really stressed geographic and product diversification. And I just wondered what exchange initiatives remain on the table for 2020 and then going into 2021.
Well, I think, just to have one last piece to add to, how we particularly TMX have coped with this is that, the notion of remote work, we've been investing, in Google suite of products in terms of, the G Suite to be able to communicate and collaborate and work remotely. So this was kind of in our DNA for almost the last 3 years now. So for us to take everyone and physically, kind of get everyone working from home was, from what I hear from other industry peers, this was fairly easy relative to others. And I think that, for us, it's not a question of scrapping our entire 2020. You want to be conscious of the environment in which you're operating, but a lot of our initiatives are moving forward. A lot of new products that we believe will genuinely help our investors are going to make it to market. They might have some slippage in terms of, the timelines that we originally had established. But I genuinely believe that, a lot of the things that we were trying to work on will see the light of day. In our interest rate suite of products, we had Cora futures. Before coronavirus hit, there was a lot of talk around the elimination of IBORs globally and what different, benchmarks were, new benchmarks were being established. Well, TMX was, definitely sitting at the table with the central bank and industry participants in Canada. Although, CDOR will not be eliminated, there is a plan to transition to CORRA-based, you know, the Canadian overnight reference rate. And there's definitely an intent to kind of go to this more volumetric-based benchmark as opposed to, you know, as opposed to working off, you know, our old CDOR. So we've adapted and have built a product and it's ready to go. As soon as the Bank of Canada launches its enhanced, the enhanced CDOR, we believe that the original timelines for that were in June, we would be launching, you know, sort of our new CORRA-based futures, you know, shortly thereafter. You know, we about 18 months ago launched our 5-year future, which is, you know, was doing very, very well up until fairly recently. And, you know, we still believe that it will continue to, you know, continue to thrive. The next, you know, logical, you know, product that to complete our interest rate suite is, you know, you come out with an enhanced STIR contract, which is your CORRA futures. You've got a 5-year that is developing nicely, and you've got your our 10-year that is just thriving. The logical next step would be to do a 2-year. And that's in the pipeline for this year. Again, this was slated for Q3. It might slip into Q4, but there's genuine belief and there's genuine demand for these types of products. So we're very excited to, you know, continue building on those initiatives and taking the necessary steps to, you know, to socialize. They're seeing their time to market. The other thing I would say is on the equity suite of products, we are looking at launching a new S&P/TSX ESG index, on which we're going to launch an S&P a futures contract to, you know, better reflect sort of the global investors' perspective, as you know, as a lot of global investors are demanding to have sort of a new lens on investments, which is called ESG, to have a futures contract and a benchmark that is adapted to that sort of new reality. So that's in the cards again for, you know, for a little bit later on this year. We've also been working on dividend futures to complement our share futures, which have, you know, been doing gangbusters. There has also been demand for that. There's preliminary work being done in 2020, but I think the plan was to launch that in 2021. And, you know, in addition to all of this, you know, we've been looking at extending our hours. We did an initial purview of that early on, again, about 18 months ago with our extended hours into Europe. And, you know, off that success, 2020 is a year where we're going to set the foundation to, you know, establish sort of around the clock kind of hours of operation, a 20 plus hours of derivative operations. This will basically align us with our global peers, such as CME, ICE, ASX, and others. I think this will, you know, will go a long way in terms of, you know, we were the only G7 derivative marketplace that really didn't have sort of that around the clock hours of operation. And, you know, that was honestly a competitive disadvantage for us. And it didn't allow to showcase Canada in particular jurisdictions of the world. So I think we're going to help Canadian capital markets by providing, you know, sort of that global visibility in 2021 when we flip the switch on this.
Do you include Asia in that plan too?
That is correct. Yes. So basically what we've done is when you look at our initial kick at the can, which was extending our hours into Europe, in very short order, that was, you know, roughly 3-5. And recently in early 2020, we peaked at 8%, 8-10% of our ADV was happening during that extra 4 hours between sort of opening with London and our usual 6 a.m. open. So those extra 4 hours would basically, you know, see anywhere between, you know, sort of 3 in the early days to 6, 8, and 10% when the market really, you know, was very, very active in January and February prior to, you know, the meltdown that subsequently happened. You know, our view is at the end of the day, when we flip the switch on the Asian component of it to sort of wrap the clock, we should probably be sitting on average at roughly 15% of our average daily volume would be completed in those extended hours. That's kind of consistent, and I would say maybe even conservative to what some of our peers are recording now. But we're optimistic based on the preliminary work that we've done. There is definitely need to, you know, hedge sort of Canadian dollar asset risk in that part of the world, and there is a growing a growing sense that there's a globalization of pension assets, that, you know, there's tons of those pension assets that are sitting in Asia, whether it be, you know, in Hong Kong, in Singapore, Australia, Japan, Korea, all present incredible opportunities. And, you know, when we were out there socializing this notion of extending our hours, the appetite by end asset owners to be able to, you know, sort of, you know, use our instruments to be able to get exposure to that risk seemed very, very appealing to them. So the early work is very promising, which is why we're moving forward with that endeavor.
And again, you're thinking that will happen probably towards the end of the year or 2021?
The foundational work was 2020, and the original plan was to do it in Q1 2021. You know, we've got to be logical that if there is 3 to 4 to 6 months worth of slippage, but we'll adapt. Right. It's still too early. You know, at first, it didn't feel right to be engaging with, you know, other potential foreign approved participants or other CCPs that were just too focused on managing risk to be engaging in terms of, you know, how we could be working with them, working with FCMs to, you know, to sort of align what the risk model should look like. And now, you know, as a sense of normalcy is returning, you know, if we could call it that, some days it feels that way, other days less so. But I've got to say that, you know, we are finding the ability to engage, and you know, if we can get all of the preliminary groundwork done, we'll be able to stick with our timelines.
Single stock futures were launched several years ago in 2016, and TMX offers now 80 symbols plus 12 ETFs. Is that right?
But we have demand for over 300 names. So I think the ultimate objective is to get to, you know, 300 share futures. And, you know, that product demand has exploded. We're talking, you know, sort of, you know, multiple folds of demand for, you know, for single stock futures since it launched. And this is global demand, which is nice. It's a diversification over, you know, investing in the actual cash product. And we've also, you know, created sort of the BTIC functionality, which is based straight on close, that allows for, you know, a fluid movement between, you know, sort of cash product and the futures contract. So we've seen very, very promising and continued uptake in this type of product. So definitely on the roadmap to see more of that.
What about cryptocurrency? We're wondering what the exchange's strategy is on that score. Any interest in adding crypto products?
Well, I mean, it's a product that we've been watching. I think the, you know, the regulatory landscape is evolving so slowly with regards to that. And you know, we would rather be a follower than sort of a leader. We've seen leaders, you know, launch new products probably, you know, way too early, and you know, have since delisted them. So we didn't, you know, we didn't want to embark in too much of the euphoria initially, particularly on exchange, you know, sort of products. So we're monitoring the evolution of this, but for the time being, you know, it's not about building it and they will come. It really is responding to what our customers are asking for, and right now they're just not asking for it, to be honest.
What about the S&P MX International Cannabis Index? That's something that a lot of people are curious about and watching. It was launched in January. Can you talk about that a little bit? What's their target audience?
Canada was obviously one of the first legal jurisdictions to, you know, to see, you know, cannabis legalized, not just decriminalized, but actually legalized. And hence, there's been a new nascent industry that has exploded. And you know, there is belief that the regulatory and the laws will change in a number of other global jurisdictions. And in any new nascent market, we felt that, you know, kind of having a reputable benchmark that is not only based on, you know, some of the Canadian names, but also some of the global names that are actually trading. So this index, this international index, has names that are on other venues that are, you know, that are basically, you know, sort of big players in the space. And subsequent to the launch of this index, we believe that, you know, it'll attract ETF, you know, issuers to try to imitate that, you know, the launch of that index. And in response to that, well, you know, we launched our cannabis futures earlier this year, in terms of a soft launch that is really targeted at sort sort of retail audiences who are trying to global retail audience that are really trying to, you know, get exposure to this nascent market. So it really is a work in progress. Obviously, the upheaval in the overall markets in general right now haven't, you know, sort of lent itself particularly well to, you know, to that environment. But, you know, like any nascent industry, it will bounce back, and it's just a matter of time. This, you know, the way we view this product is it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and you know, we're in it for the long haul, and the product is off the ground, and we are looking to sort of recommercialize, you know, with you know, more active market making in the not too distant future when conditions are ripe and the market mm-hmm. settles down a little bit.
Is there anything else you want to mention that I haven't asked you about?
We're very keen about the opportunities, and you know, it's difficult to kind of view, you know, too forward ahead, because a lot of folks are trying to reimagine what the world's going to look like post-COVID. You know, when I look at, you know, a lot of the initiatives and the endeavors that we're embarking on are really meant to respond to, you know, customer demand. And we believe that that client demand for the products that we're building is, you know, was there, is there, and will continue to be there after COVID. And, you know, the notion of globalization around, you know, financial products and exposing Canadian capital markets globally is also something that's really, really key to our organization. So I think that's the key message that, you know, I would love to leave you with. It really is about continuing to grow our global growth ambitions and meeting customer demands with, you know, with products that respond to those demands.
Well, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.